We should be known for something by now. I think I had 11 different things I was like kind of becoming known for. I think it's probably time to hire a CEO because like I'm not a CEO, I'm a founder. It takes a lot of self-discipline to be willing to say no to those things.
Welcome back everybody to the Breakout CEO Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Holman, and I'm here with Alex Sanfilippo. Alex, it's so good to have you on the show.
Jeff, I'm really excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me, man.
Yeah, of course. And I have to say, you have one of the easy, I don't know if it's the easiest, it seems easy. The background that you've got just makes it very consistent, very easy to identify you. Not, you know, face of course works, but like you just got this kind of iconic look to you. How'd you come up with that?
Man, so it wasn't fully intentional. First off, I'm a really simple individual. So like what you see is what you get. Like yeah. I just have a background with some LEDs hitting it. It's just my wall. And most of my walls in my house are empty. I'm borderline minimalist and I'm thankful my wife is actually okay with that. So like this is just kind of my personality. It fits really well. However, everyone sees something different here. When I look at my background behind me, I see purple because that's like one of our brand colors. When I look at the computer, I see blue. What color do you see right now?
It's in between, I think. I would call it a little bit warmer blue, maybe, which I guess makes it kind of purple. It's not a light blue. It's more of a warmer blue. Okay. If I can say it that way.
So I asked when it debuted on a Zoom call that I got into. There was over 90 people in the Zoom call. And people were like, whoa, look at Alex. Someone said this on the screen. They said, well, look at Alex with a new cool blue background. And someone else goes, it's not a blue background. It's purple. And then this whole like argument started. And I was like, I guess this is my life now. Like, I'm not going to change it. So
the gold dress or what was that thing that was going around the internet?
There was the whole dress thing. It's similar. It felt like that. And so I'm kind of stuck with it now, but it's okay. This is, again, it fits my personality really well. And I've enjoyed having a really simple, just podcasting look.
Well, I wasn't going to ask this, but this leads me into the next question pretty well, because now I'm curious. You're a simple guy, you're clean cut, clean wall, all that stuff. Is that like a representative of how you run your business?
I like to think so. Sometimes I actually do. I will admit, initially I overcomplicate things. Like the first iteration of anything new I'm trying to do, I definitely like overcomplicate it in my mind. And my other two co-founders, one's my wife, the other one's a longtime friend of mine. But the three of us, I tell them, I'm like, hey, just so y'all know, like the first version of something I'm pitching to y'all is going to be overly complicated. But in general, I always do my best to tell them, hey, just know I'm going to get it more simple. Encourage me to do that. And we do our best just to literally just keep everything simple. And so I think that the way that I live my personal life is reflected in the business and vice versa. So I try to keep the complexity out of it. And I've gone a little bit extreme, I will admit. Like the color t-shirt I'm wearing is kind of like an off gray type color, like a very light gray. This is the same color every single t-shirt I own is. I think I have 15 of them. They all have different logos on them, but they're all... I think there's 15 of them I had made. So I'm very simple. It's funny. Like if you go into my closet, be like, this is all you own. It's like, yeah, this just kind of keep it simple. And same with business. Like I don't have a whole lot of things that I do. Like I run my business and I don't have like all the little side hustles and all the little add-ons and stuff like that. And just, I enjoy life that way. And I enjoy business that way. And I can wrap my head around it really well. So it's kind of been the flow I've maintained all the way through.
Well, I think you articulated something that a lot of business owners go through, right? Because you launch the business and you're like, I could do this, I could do this. In fact, many business owners don't have the restraint you do. And they, in fact, try to add on all those other things on top of their business, right? And that becomes a kind of a mess in a lot of different ways. Some of them I've seen and some of them I tried to help clean up before. But that becomes a mess a different way. It takes a lot of work, though, to simplify a business to the point where it's easy. Right. And I look at that from my background in law, and I've had clients say, wait a second, this is all you did? You charged me how much? And this is what you did? And I say, you don't know the path it took to get this simple. What was it? Was it Mark Twain? What was his saying? You know, if you want me to, I can't remember it. Something about writing a long letter. If you want me to write a short letter, give me 10 hours or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was, if you want me to talk for 4 hours, I can prep it in 5 minutes. If you want me to talk for 5 minutes, I need 4 hours to prep.
Something along those.
And the idea is like, I like what Leonardo da Vinci says, and it's this, that simplicity is the ultimate form of sophistication. And I have seen that through and through in my business and my life. But I don't want to sound like I've always gotten it right. There was a time, Jeff, where I was at a podcasting conference, because again, that's all I do, right? I was there and somebody, it was like kind of a Q&A thing. And someone's like, hey, Alex, I have just one question. Like, I don't know what you do. You seem to do so much. I'm really confused. I watched more than half the room nod when she said that. And I was like, oh no. Like, even though everything I was doing was in podcasting, I think I had 11 different things I was like kind of becoming known for. Like courses, this, and everything had its own name, its own brand, had books, and kind of like all these different things that, again, had their own name. And that's when I realized that, like, oh, I've gone from wanting to do something really simple to now overcomplicating it, muddying the water, because I just started adding so many things. Now, I still do most of those things. Some of them I cut out completely, but I just now do them all under my company, Podmatch. We do it all under that umbrella, all inside of it. So there's no confusion. It's all just part of the service that we offer. So I don't want to try to make it sound like I've always gotten this right. Like, I've had to learn this. And as I've learned it in business, as I've learned in my personal life, I let one influence the other along the way.
No, that makes sense. How long ago was that when they asked that question of you?
That was 2022. And my goal is within 1 year to fix that. I'm almost there. And so it's been multiple years now, many years, but I'm still working toward simplifying all the time. And I'm getting real close to where I feel like I'm kind of like at the golden standard of it, but I'm a work in progress like all of us.
Well, and when did you start Podmatch relative to that?
Podmatch launched June 15th, 2020 was our first day.
Okay. So it'd been there. You've been running your business for a couple of years and someone said to you, wait, what is it you do?
Yeah.
You're like,
right.
You're like, I have a business. Of course I have other businesses too, but I have this business and you like that kind of hits you and you're like, wait a second. Right.
Yeah. It's the interesting thing is it's not like I set out to confuse or to overcomplicate.
Right.
And I wasn't trying to like become famous. It's just when someone talks to you, they're like, oh, Alex, you should do this. You're really good at it. And then you're like, oh, wait, I am good at that. I'll do that. Right. And just started responding to everything. And especially when you first start a business, you need to talk to the people that you're serving, but you also have to have some discernment, some wisdom to understand like what to actually act upon. And I basically listened to every bit of feedback and just implemented everything that I possibly could. I was doing this Podmatch thing full time within 6 months of starting it. And so for me, I was like, I've got some capacity. I've got some time where the company's small. And so I just started becoming all things to all people as long as it was in podcasting. But now I've realized like, I don't want to be that. I want to be this one person that does this one thing for people in podcasting. I know people who do the rest, but it's not me anymore. But at first I fell into that temptation of just being like, yeah, I'll do that for you. Yep. I'll do that too. And it takes a lot of self-discipline to be willing to say no to those things.
Well, and a lot of early stage founders or early founders, you don't know if you've nailed your business model yet. So there is this exploration of what feels like tangential services or products, and maybe we should add this and maybe that's where we'll actually build our businesses around the next product. Or so there's that feature creep. There's the exploration. There's, you know, kind of perpetual pivot mode. I don't, you know, any of those, but you had co-founders, when you started this, right?
Yeah, still do. Yep. The same three of us. Yep.
How did your co-founders feel? Like, would they have said the same thing? Like, well, Alex, we've been meaning to tell you, you're a little, you know, scattered in this, or was it just a function of the business? That's how it was operating and growing.
Yeah, it was, as you mentioned, early stage. Like, you don't really know what's going to stick. We were very much so in that boat between the three of us. And so I knew a lot about podcasting when we started. My wife knew a lot about operations, but not a lot about podcasting. And my other co-founder, who's the technical guy, builds out the software and stuff like that. He knows literally nothing about podcasting. Now he does, but he didn't at that point. And so I was like, hey, we just got to see what we can make work. And the thing is, the company was growing. And it did actually help for a time. Until we hit the point where like we kind of found our product market fit, right? Like we found that lane that we should be in, but I was all over the place. And so at that point, it was first an internal commitment to them saying, hey, y'all, I'm going to streamline what I do. I'm going to narrow it in. I'm going to stop a bunch of things. And we're going to look at what's profitable, what's bringing in business, what's actually serving people at the highest level. And if it's not doing those things, I'm going to start cutting it and removing it. And so it was one of those things where they didn't bring it up. I actually brought it up to them first. After hearing someone say, I'm confused about what you do. That was really like the thing that tipped me over the edge to be like, uh-oh, it's time to hone in, because we should be known for something by now, not just being a guy who can handle anything in the podcasting space.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think it's a familiar trajectory. Let's pause there though, because I don't know that we've told people what Podmatch is. I'm actually a user of Podmatch. I've been on it for, I think, over a year now. I don't know. I just started my podcasting journey as a guest, and I'm like, I got to be on podcasts. And I did a bunch of that. And I'm like, how do you find hosts to host you? Oh, there's this awesome platform called Podmatch. Some guy named Alex has created it. And it's what I started using to find hosts that wanted guests that you know, were speaking about the topics I speak about. And then as I actually signed up for, I think you have a combined plan host and guest, and I signed up for both. I'll let you explain what it is in a minute, but I signed up for both because I thought, I might start my own podcast later and we'll see what happens. And in fact, you know, I did. So, but tell the audience what Podmatch is and, you know, kind of the basics of what it does for the community. Because I think it really is, I have to add this. I think it really is not just a platform. I think what you're building is as much a community as it is a platform.
Yeah, thank you for that, Jeff. I really appreciate it. Thanks for being part of Podmatch. For everyone who's like, okay, what is this Podmatch thing? The website's podmatch.com, and it's a service that connects podcast guests and hosts for interviews. We use an algorithm, we use AI, the stuff that we've actually built to basically connect the right people together. So like Jeff and I matched, I should say the breakout CEO and Alex Sanfilippo matched on Podmatch, given my expertise and what Jeff says, hey, this is what the breakout CEO is looking for. Right? So we're able to make that connection in the system. The whole idea is to streamline that process. And for lack of a better term, listen, I've been married too long to be on a dating app, but for lack of a better term, it works very similar to a dating app, but instead of connecting people for dates, it connects them for podcast interviews. And on the platform, you can message back and forth, you can schedule, you never have to exchange an email if you don't want to, you can handle it all literally right there. And that was the idea. Let's remove the friction involved and bring the right people together and help them to get to the actual recording studio, whether it be in person or virtual, faster, so that ultimately listeners can be served at a higher level without all the friction that's involved behind the scenes that most people don't see. And so that's the big problem that we serve in the podcasting industry. And that's been my sole focus for years now. And I've gotten better and better making that my only focus. But thanks for the opportunity to talk about that, Jeff. I appreciate
it. Yeah. Well, it's a fantastic tool. Those of people who are listening to this thinking, I'd like to be a guest, go check out Podmatch, create an account and sign up. It's easy and it's a great platform. It really is. I don't just say that because you're sitting here, you know, with me on my show. Like, it's a great platform. I've been using it long before I got to know you. Although I'm very glad to get to know you through the platform and LinkedIn and other places. So
yeah, thank you for that, man. It means a ton. I appreciate you.
Yeah, no worries. I wanted to touch on, if you don't mind, a few weeks ago, it was either on Facebook or on LinkedIn. I noticed that you said something. You were kind of pulling out the what do we call it? Vulnerability, right? That's what we call it these days. And you said, man, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to paraphrase. I'm going to get it wrong. Ask my wife if I know how to paraphrase correctly, and she'll tell you I don't. So, but I'm going to do my version of paraphrasing. And that was something like, man, I'm building this platform, but some days I can't please everybody. I got people that are complaining and people that are, you know, not happy, or, you know, I don't know if it was because you removed a feature or you turn on a feature, or just somebody wasn't doing exactly what they expected it to do. And you're like, you know, we're trying and we're going at it. You remember that post?
I do. Yeah. Those are hard to forget.
Yeah.
And by the way, great job paraphrasing it. Me and your wife can talk about this. We can have a conversation.
Yeah, tell me what I missed.
Yeah. I think vulnerability is really important. As a matter of fact, you had a recent episode of your show that I listened to. It was the Breakout CEO. You had Zach Barney on. I remember the date. It was aired on February 5th, 2026. And a really good episode, by the way. I encourage everyone to listen to it. Something that Zach said was that you just need to admit when you're struggling, like that you're having a struggle or something you're going through, like be open about it. And this was me being that. Like, I just decided, like, hey, I'm going to use my social media platforms for work. Like, I really only use them for work, but I'm also going to be really honest about that stuff on there. And when I posted this, it was actually like this, it's this weird week that happens every year. It's near the end of January. And it's when people who at the beginning of the year were really excited to start a new goal or resolution, whatever it is you want to call it. And this is the time now where they've decided they're admitting failure. They feel like they decided they're going to quit. And there's this
they quit the gym the week before, and right? Now they're quitting podcasting.
Yeah. And so what happens is because we're very community driven within Podmatch, and thank you for saying that earlier, by the way, like really a community is key to what we're doing these days. And so like for me, I'm available. Like I check the email. My wife checks email. Jesse, our other co-founder, like we're the ones in the email. We don't use any AI tools or like chat bots or anything like that. Like it's actually us. And every year, that time of year, the system does automatically send some notifications. So it might be like, hey, Jeff, notice you haven't logged in a week or something like that. Or, how's it going so far? And because that's open for people to respond, we're the first person typically to tell this, to remind this person that, hey, you failed. Why? Right. And we don't say that, but that's how they articulate. So they respond very, like, very rude, very like, I mean, I think maybe they just don't realize a human's going to see it. Cause some of the stuff people say, I'm like, wow, like, would you say that in person? Like, that is awful. Like, how could you say that? Right. So people are like, oh, I failed because you all are terrible. Right. And it's like, okay, well, that can't really be the reason, but the people use way worse words than that. So I was really just, I posted that just out of a place of like, man, I'm worn out. It was like a Monday morning, and that's always like the worst of it happens Monday morning. And so it was just like a bunch of emails in a row where I'm like, man, does anyone even like Podmatch? You know, like, and I go look, I'm like, oh, there's like 100,000 people using it. And there's 10 here that are angry. Like, it's like, okay, I think we're okay. But I think that it takes a big commitment to be that, what I called a frontline founder, being the person at the front of the pack, being willing to take on some of that pressure, right? Of like, hey, you're going to call my baby ugly. Go ahead. I'm ready. Like, I'm bracing myself. And I was having one of those weeks where I was like, man, I need to remind myself and remind others, like, this is actually hard work. Like, I like to make it look like it's all fun and games, because usually it is. But sometimes, like, man, you got to put on your big boy pants and just go for it. And that was one of those weeks for sure.
I love that phrase, frontline founder. I don't think I've heard it before, or if I have, I didn't remember it. But that really is true. I mean, I think you're referring a little bit to battleground scenarios, and you're like, or at least the chaos that would be representative of being out on the battlefield, right? Like, you're in the middle of it trying to advance when the, you know, what's in front of you might be unknown at best and hostile, you know, in some situations. So there's something to be said about that frontline founder phrasing and mentality. Have you used that often?
I had never heard it before. And the first time I ever said it was for that post, because I was having trouble like articulating, like, well, what am I? Like, why is this different for me than, so, and I'm not talking bad about other companies in the space. And listen, there's all kinds of ways to build your business, but most of the businesses in podcasting, there's no way you would ever have a conversation with a founder or anyone above, like, just a regular support individual who literally has no connection to like the actual heartbeat of the business, right? So for them, they're like, I'll just block you, you know, like, you can cuss me out. I'll just block you. I don't care. You know, like, I don't get paid enough for this. And so like, and so I was like, what is this? I'm like, oh, basically like I'm running this, but I'm actually like, I'm at the front line. I'm the first person to get shot at, you know, like it kind of comes right at me. And so I had never heard it before either. I don't know if it was the right term, and maybe it has some different meaning behind it that I'm not aware of. But to me, it's how I felt at the very least. And still to this day, it's actually how I want to run my business. Like, yes, I had a tough week, but I made it very clear in that post. I'm not changing anything. I'm just saying this in case you're doing it this way as well. And so I wanted that to be known. Like, if you're going to build a community around a business as a founder, I think you have to be really heavily involved with that. Maybe not at the exact front line like I am. I'm not saying, I think that maybe what I'm doing is a little extreme, but you've got to in some way, shape, and form be involved in it, because the community is going to follow what's happening from the top down.
Yeah. And and before the show, we were talking a little bit about fear. People, if the audience hears our little icebreaker question conversation before this, they'll hear what you said about that. But I think for those who haven't heard it, it's, you mentioned that having courage is the ability to step into the unknown, even though your mind is telling you, oh, wait, I don't know what this is. I don't know where it's going. You know, what's going to happen? And so it sounds to me like you've got a really good handle on approaching, you know, those tough moments, knowing that they're going to be there, even though, and that they'll pass too, I think, but knowing they're going to be there, even though you don't know exactly when they're going to pop up or how they're going to show up.
Absolutely. I think for me, that all ties back to my personal core values, which informed the company's core values. Well, I say mine, like my personal core values, but the companies are between me, Alicia, and Jesse, the three co-founders. But like one of our big ones that we have on the website that we list there is like human to human. Like, we're always going to do business that's human to human. And for me personally, like, it kind of ties to my personal core value of what I just say, loving first. And so I always remind myself like, hey, I love people for who they are, not for what they do. And our job as a company is to love people who are hurting. And so I remind myself of that. And like, I know that I'm using the word love and people are like, aren't you like in podcasting? Like, yes, but at the end of the day, we're in the human connection business. Like, that's what we do, yeah. Right? And so like, there's gotta be some sense of love and passion involved. It can't just be all transaction and dollars. If it is, you're never gonna build a community around it at the very least. And it's never gonna have a true heartbeat that so many people these days look for when they wanna work with a company. And so that's, again, this is the cost of designing what we have, right? Like, some of these people are like, man, you all like, your company does so well. Like, how can I build a company that's successful? I'm like, you got to want to. And it's not, sometimes I feel like we don't get paid enough, you know, like, and that's okay. But that's just the approach we decided to take with this thing. And I'll be real, 95% of the time, it's a blessing. It's a blast to be part of. And I'm really just grateful to be here.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Have you read Unreasonable Hospitality by chance?
Man, that's my, funny you say that. That is my next book that's queued up. Somebody just told me about this after that post. And so I've not read it, but it's my next one I've queued up. So hearing it from you makes me really excited to open it up.
Yeah, I just read it. I shared it with my team here at the law firm. I mean, who's in a law firm? You're not like unreasonable hospitality. You're not in a hospitality business, but we all are. And what you're saying reminded me of that we're all in the, it's that human to human experience. What's the emotional response that you create for other people? And how do you do that in a way? Not every single interaction has to be that way, but if you have a slice, even a sliver of what you do with your community, with your people, with your team, and you make it unreasonably great, you know, is the concept. And you create these phenomenal experiences, you know, you're going to stand out. And in the case of the author of that book, you know, Will Goddara, you're going to develop a three star Michelin restaurant and top of the list in, you know, world-class restaurants. So
nice.
I'm sure you'll find lots of applications for that, and you'll be great at implementing it in a cool way.
Yeah. I'm excited about that, man. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to ask you, because I haven't seen, you know, I've watched for the last years, I've been a, you know, a member of your community. I've watched what's going on. I see things happening and changing, and you're developing things, and you've got a lot going on for the community. But I'd love to know, for my audience who is, you know, they're like you, they're building a business. Everybody sees the outside world, and they get to see when things are going right. Every once in a while, they get a glimpse into the inside world. But a lot of people building businesses think, I'm just the only one going through this. I've got nobody to turn to. You know, I could be vulnerable a little bit, maybe out on LinkedIn or whatever, but really when something really goes wrong, who do I tell? I don't want to tell my investors because they're going to be like, you're incompetent. I don't want to tell my employees because they're going to be like, why am I working for you? I don't want to tell my, you know, there's so many people you can think of a whole list of people you don't want to tell. And so they end up just kind of sitting on it. And not that we want to dwell on negative things by any means, but what is there a moment in your business where you kind of have hit those plateaus or those obstacles and you said, I got to figure out, you know, not just how to deal with the implications of what's going on, but how do I change my perspective or where do I go to get a little bit different insight and really break through this moment and find growth out of what otherwise feels like, you know, maybe a plateau or maybe more, you know, maybe a bigger obstacle than that. Just a quick note about our guests. I host the Breakout CEO podcast to share behind the scenes insights from scaling businesses. As an attorney, I see the real challenges leaders face long before success becomes public. But client stories have to stay confidential. So we invite guest CEOs to share their own moments of struggle and success. I'm so grateful to our guests and my team at Intellectual Strategies for making this show possible. Now, let's get back to the show.
For me, community is everything. And I know I've already said that a few times, but like community for yourself as a founder, as a CEO, like it really matters. And I've definitely hit this moment. I can remember, I think I was probably about 3 years into the business and I was like, I feel like I was stuck. Like, okay, like we've grown and we did plateau as a business. I was like, I'm now beyond my ability to be a founder. And it was interesting because I was like, I think it's probably time to hire a CEO because like, I'm not a CEO, I'm a founder. And there's a big difference, right? Like there's, and then I just don't have the expertise.
Did you know you had plateaued at that? Like, were you seeing the numbers just kind of stall at that point? Or is that what it was?
Yeah, it was. It was a few things. One, numbers plateaued. So like, not just like the revenue the company was making, but also like from the people using the platform, like everything was kind of, it wasn't shrinking, but it was just kind of staying flat. But we knew that we had not reached like market maturity by any means. Like we knew there was plenty of room to grow. And then when we were looking at the development pipeline and we were looking at how we were actually maintaining all the operations of the business, like looking at all those things, I'm like, okay, we're kind of flatlined from a business perspective. We're not sure what to work on. And from an operations standpoint, we've kind of maximized, like we've maxed out all the tools we have. And it was like that moment where I was like, well, something has to change, right? Like, and for me, like, I didn't mean to step in as like the acting CEO or anything like that. We just kind of, none of us have an ego in this business. So me, Alicia, and Jesse, like none of us have, there never at any point where people are like, well, I want to be the CEO when it comes to that point. Like, we just never had that. I just kind of stepped into that without really meaning to. And it was that moment where I realized—
Did you not have a CEO before that? Was it just literally just co-founders and we'll just build this together, everybody pitch in, wear whatever hat needs to be worn that day? And you, for 3 years, you operated just co-founders then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And we're bootstrapped. So it was the three of us that started. We legally got buttoned up. Jeff, I think I should say that here in front of your presence. That the day we started, I won't even forget it. It was March 10th, 2020. And I called up I had like a side hustle business I had a lawyer for anyway. And so like I called that person. I'm like, hey, I'm changing everything. Need some documentation for the three of us to sign. We signed, we made it all legal. So we're good.
Awesome.
But yeah, we just decided like, hey, we're going to put $5,000 in this account and hit the ground running. And if we run out of that money, we'll figure out what to do with it. And thankfully that money never ran out. And I'm super grateful for that. But like back to that present day I was sharing about, like we kind of hit that point. And at that point I was like, hey, I think we need to talk to some other people. Like, let's just start with that. Like, who do we talk to? And so for me, I started actively seeking my own community. So like not the Podmatch community, but my own community among some other founders. And there's like plenty of masterminds out there that help with this stuff. There's also like localized different groups and stuff like that in most major cities at this point. But for me, I was like, well, who's someone who runs a business the way I want to? And so I just started seeking those individuals out. And I happened to meet somebody in Jackson, Florida, who is, he'd been doing it, I think like 15 years longer than me, had a very successful brand. He ran it the way I liked to be run. And I just tried to seek out to be a friend to this guy. So I did my best to help him any chance I got, eventually built out a friendship. And he introduced me to many other people that are much further along than me. But I started just getting around other people and talking and sharing very transparently with these individuals, just like, hey, here's where I'm at. Here's what I'm struggling with. And the biggest thing that opened my eyes, actually, Jeff, to realizing that like I could go further was the fact that many of these individuals said, ooh, yeah, that's a tough problem. And I was like, wait, you're saying that's a tough problem? I'm like, hold on. You know, like that actually gave me a lot of confidence because I'm like, oh, I'm not just stupid. You know, like this way more qualified person than me says, oh, wow, that's a tough problem to overcome. And it kind of gave me this freedom to be like, well, then I can still be creative. I can still come up with solutions. If someone as far along as this person says that's tough, like, in many ways, that boost, weirdly enough, was almost all I needed. And of course, I got some very pointed wisdom on how to do things. And so having that tight-knit community myself has been a game changer for me over the years.
That almost seems counterintuitive. When you go to somebody smart and you take them a problem, you're like, I'm going to get an answer here. And they say, you know, Alex, I'm not sure. That's tough. I think some people would react to that and be like, oh, crap, I'm in trouble. Like I came here to get an answer. I'm not getting an answer. I'm just going to shut this thing down. I think it would frustrate them. But you took it and you said, oh, this is encouraging. I came to a smart person. I got a hard problem. They don't know how to solve it either. You know, was it kind of like, well, if they don't know how to solve it, maybe we are on the same level. Maybe I'm coming up against the things that they're coming up against. And, you know, this is a tough problem for anybody.
I think that, yes, it might be a tough problem for anybody, but the reality is I think that these individuals took the time to really invest in me and get to know me, and I think that they just knew that if I said that, they're like, if I say this to Alex, he'll go figure it out type of thing. And I think it was a little bit of that, of like just playing to my own strengths. And most of the time, these individuals like would push me in the right direction or help me a little bit, but it's never been a handout type of relationship, which is... And it's good because they know me. If you kind of hand it out to me, like I probably won't even do it, right? Like it's harder for me to implement. If you're more like, here's an idea, Alex, go run with that. Like I'm much better and much more fulfilled and much better in that scenario. So I think these individuals just kind of knew who I was. And I do want to clarify, none of them like left me hang. Like that's a tough problem. They kind of then would kind of be like, well, here's a few scenarios here. But for me, it's funny. I still go back. All I can really hear is the fact they said that was a tough problem. I'm like, I can do it. I know I can now. Right. So, and it was definitely not like, oh, I'm at their level. I don't know if I'll ever arrive because they're also getting better and better and climbing. Right. So
it pumped you up. It definitely got you energized. You're like, oh, well, yeah, I can do this.
100%. That's a good way to say it. That's exactly what it did for me.
I love that. I want to, if you don't mind, I'd love to hear a little bit more about how you built your network. Cause I think for some people, it doesn't come naturally at all. You know, they're like, everybody hears it. I need mentors. And then they're like 30 years later, like maybe I should have gotten some mentors somewhere along the way. Right. Like, but you seem like an outgoing guy. Was this an easy thing for you to just go and make friends, just go and find mentors? Was it like 1 month to the next, you're like, now I got this network of mentors and I'm just going to, you know, go to them with problems? And yeah, I'm sure none of them left you hanging, but they work through them, present the problems, have productive conversations, and, you know, and now you benefit, you know, forever from these great relationships. Is that how it worked?
I wish. No. I'd even say my main mentor, I'd say it took me 2 years to like really break through with the guy, to even get like any sort of reaction from him. And not that I was being annoying, knocking on his door every day or anything like that. It was just like, you can kind of, I don't know. I try to have a little bit of social intelligence to know when, like, okay, there's not really any, like, too soon, you know, let me back up, slow down, we just met type of scenario, right? But so for me, for years, I'd say, although I'm outgoing, I do have like a big personality. And so for some people, they're like, whoa, dude, calm down, slow down, right? And so, and I'm aware of that. I've learned to tone that down a little bit over the years. But I really did struggle. I'm like, I don't know how anyone finds a mentor, finds a coach. It was actually one of Michael Hyatt's books. And I'm blanking on what it's called, but it might've been even Mentor or Mentorship, might've been the name of the book. And it was kind of his philosophy is, again, Michael Hyatt, he's someone I've been following for years. So he's kind of been like a virtual digital mentor for me for a long time. And when I read that, I just realized like that where it really comes into play is you can't just show up to someone and be like, will you be my mentor? Will you help me? It starts with you leading with some form of value. And so like the main individual who I would consider to be like my main mentor, it was something I wasn't even aware of. Like we're in each other's ecosystems a little bit, but it turns out I interviewed the person he considers to be his main mentor. I had no idea they were connected, had no idea they knew each other. And I get a text message from the guy I want mentoring me one day. And he's like, hey, heard your conversation with DHH. Can I call you? And I was like, yes,
really?
Absolutely. So we got on a call and he's like, man, I listened to every single, I don't know if you know who DHH is, but I mean, David no. Hanemeyer Hansen, but if you like go to Google and type in DHH, he's who shows up, which I think is okay. Kind of a big deal. But the people that follow DHH, they don't like follow him a little bit. Like if he posts something on the internet in a website that only one person ever visited, they all find it. Like it's just kind of really? How they are. And so, but he told me, the guy's name is Tom, and Tom goes, Alex, he goes, I have listened to every single piece of content that this guy's ever put out. Everyone that's ever interviewed him, he goes, I have never heard anyone do it like you did. And so that was actually the moment that we kind of struck up this like more mutual relationship where he felt like I added value to him. Cause he's like, I've been wondering some of those questions and no one's ever like, I've never had the chance to ask him those questions. And like now you have, and you voiced them really well. So we were able to build that out. And so for me, like finding mentors took a lot of patience and me realizing like I've got to put some skin in the game here to make it happen. That one was like weirdly connected with other people. It's just been like, hey, is there something I can do to help you out? Is typically what I begin with, just to see if there's some way to start building a relationship.
Well, I think it goes back to what we were talking about before, just this whole emphasis on community, right? You might not have intended to use that recording and that episode with DHH to gain a relationship with a potential mentor who you're looking at. But by building the community, the kind of network effects happen. And all of a sudden you're in a position where you have a chance to connect with somebody that you wanted to connect with. You know, that's maybe isn't the most direct way to do it, but it's probably one of the stronger ways, right? You've now got somebody reaching out to you who you otherwise would have had to say, hey, can I bug you for a few minutes? Like, I don't want to impose. And they're like, Alex, I want to sit down and talk.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, it might sound strangely not too connected, but the reality is I'm good at follow-up. And I think that that's the key here. Like if you ask someone 4 years ago that you want to like, hey, will you be my mentor? And you never talk to them again, even if like you don't get the answer you want, I think that you're missing the opportunity. Tom only remembered who I was because I had reached out multiple times over the years. Not saying, will you mentor me? Just being like, hey, enjoyed this that you did. Just making sure I'm like, I don't need to be top of mind, but I need to be enough in your mind to know, hey, I probably know someone who has Alex's phone number. I like this. I want to talk to him. But if I would have just that initial interaction and nothing came from it, if I would have just left it at that, 2 years later, whatever it was, when he heard this interview, he might not have even remembered that we met. It's the fact that I kept up with it. I think that too many of us, we give up too fast. And listen, that's a business thing. That's a mentorship thing. I think that there's a real lesson in the fact of like, hey, relationships take time to really develop.
I love that. Has the journey been pretty similar for Alicia and who was your other co-founder?
Jesse.
I spaced his name. Sorry.
Yeah, all good.
Has it been a pretty similar trajectory for them on the team? I mean, is it everyone's kind of going down the same path, or have they had unique experiences from you because of maybe your role versus theirs, or you seem to be very much the face of the company from what I've seen. Like, what's their experience been like?
Yeah. So I can only speak so much for them, but we are a close group. We have two calls per week. So Mondays and Wednesdays, we do a call together. And so, and then both our families are friends. Like, we've known each other. We were in each other's weddings, like 2012 and 2011, I think is what it was. Awesome. And so, like, we've known each other a long time. So whenever we try to get together outside of work as well. And which Jesse's getting ready to move to the same city that we're in, Jacksonville, Florida, which I'm thrilled about. That's gonna be really nice. So we'll all be in the same place. But from what I can speak, I would say for Alicia, she runs on the operation side and she's very, very gifted at that. And so for her, I think it's been a great gig for her. For a while, I know she got a little bit burnt out just because of the amount of work that it was. Like, as we were building out the systems, the different tools that we'd use, like all that stuff, like for a little bit, it was a lot. And I'll admit, and some days it's obviously can still be a lot, but not like that, where it's like, hey, we went from like nothing to growing really fast. And now, like, we don't have the infrastructure to hold this type of thing. And being someone who built that out, I think that was probably her biggest pain point. But I think for the most part, I watch her and she goes into a pretty good flow state. Like, she can just get it done. That's one of the things I admire about her, while keeping the whole foundation of the company really solid. And on Jesse's side, I think that he had to learn to become a better developer, which is so funny, because he's actually like, I mean, he's so gifted. His job was like a big government job. So like, there's only so much that could be said about before he got into this. Like, what he was doing, the amount of money he was making is like absolutely absurd. Like, I didn't know anyone had jobs like that. And so, but the funny thing is, he's like, yeah, I've had to learn quite a bit since I started this. He goes, I didn't expect to learn anything. He's like, I expected this to like, kind of, without saying it, he almost said it, I expected to make me dumber when it came to developing. But he's had to learn a lot. And he's always stepped up the challenge. And I really admire that about him. So I think for Jesse, he loves to be challenged by his work. And he didn't really expect that to be the case, but he has found it to be challenging. And I think the right amount of challenging, where he's able to make traction and not get burnt out by it. But I think he's had a really fun experience. And for me, as I've gotten better about understanding how to prioritize the right work that's actually good for the company, I think he's learned to enjoy it even more. Because for a while, it's like, oh, Alex, here he is again. Random complex ideas. And now it's very structured, very pointed. Yeah. A lot of data goes into any decision we make of the order of how we're going to develop things. And I think he likes that, because he knows it's going to yield a result, because we basically have the data to show that this will actually be good. And it wasn't just like a off the whim idea. So I think for them, we've all had different paths, because we do such different work. There's almost no overlap in anything that we do. But I can say the one thing that's in common is, like, although we've gone through ups and downs, like, as a team, we've had a blast and really enjoyed it along the way.
That's awesome. And not everybody can say that about working with friends or family. So right. You guys have done a great job. And I work very closely with my wife. She runs the operations of our law firm. She does a fantastic job. She's way smarter than I am. And it works for us most of the time. So
that's great.
Not that I'm complaining about. She's got lots of reason to complain about the stuff I do, probably. But I know it doesn't work for everybody. So kudos to you for having a good working relationship in the business and outside the business. That's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm going to ask you the hard question, and then I'm going to give you a little bit of a chance to think about it. So before the show, we were asking, you know, you brought up the concept of, well, where would I be in 5 years? I'm not going to ask you personally where you're going to be in 5 years, although you can answer that if you want. I'd like to know where you'd like to see Podmatch in the next 5 years, assuming that do you have another, you know, step function growth? Do you just keep on the path you're on? I'd love to know where it's at. But I want to give you a moment just for your brain to think about that in the background, because I'd like to know, what's the advice that you would give somebody who's building a business? They're further behind you on this, you know, maybe a similar path, and they've hit some of these rocks, these bumps in the road. Maybe they haven't, you know, been able to navigate their team, or they haven't been able to find the right mentors, or they've gotten a little bit of negative feedback from their customers. Like, what are the things that you would tell somebody like that if they came to you and said, I need a little advice, Alex?
The first thing I'd say is remembering the fact that you can't do it alone. There's the old Helen Keller quote that says, alone we can do so little, but together we can do so much. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that, like, hey, just know you're never going to be able to do it alone. And I think the first step would be, if someone's actually coming to me, it means they have acknowledged that, right? And so it's a good step. If you're coming to someone else saying, hey, I'm kind of struggling here, like, that level of transparency matters. And also the realization of, like, I'm not going to be some rock star who does it on my own. An example of this, I know we all We all praise Elon Musk, and I'm not trying to sell his achievement short. He has an incredible team around him, like the most brilliant people on the planet surround him. It's not because he's some brainiac genius that does everything by himself. He's got countless people that are like the smartest people on the planet, right?
Yeah.
And there's been plenty of other leaders like that have modeled that really well. And so we're not going to be able to do it alone. And so I think for me, beyond that, it's important to be able to articulate what matters. So like if someone showed me like, Alex, I'm really struggling, like I just don't know what to do, I'd be like, well, where are you at today? And most people are not going to have an answer for that. Well, where could you go tomorrow? And they're not going to have an answer for that. And so for me, I think it's super important to have this one key metric. The key metric is the one that actually is the trigger for everything else. And so like inside of our business, I'll share what I mean. Like I don't actually track our MRR, our monthly recurring revenue. Mm-hmm. Most software companies, that's what they want to see. What's your churn rate? What's this? What's that? Like there's all these numbers we use in software. And when I really started diving into that, I found it a little bit overwhelming and it took my attention away from the community element. And I was like, yeah. I don't want that. I was like, so what metric triggers the rest of these to work well? What it comes down to in our business is interviews completed on the platform. The average number of interviews completed on the platform per day. And so I tell people, like, if you can find your one metric and have a goal assigned to that or some sort of milestone that you want to reach, knowing that and saying, I've built everything else to work well, if I can get this number right, now you can share something. It's like, okay, to have more interviews completed every day on Podmatch, what do we need to do? You need to make sure more people are connecting faster, right? Like it needs to be the right people getting together.
How did you discover that? That seems like I wouldn't know where to look. What did you just go through the numbers? You're like, hey, listen, this number correlates to all the other positive stuff happening. Or was it like, how did you decide that in your business? I know this is a little bit of a tangent from what we're
talking
about, but good. I'm super curious.
Yeah. So for me, like I do love strategy. I love numbers. Like that stuff is fun for me to dive into. And so I've been using Excel since before it was like really like mainstream. And so like, I understand to use it really well. So I put everything into an Excel spreadsheet and started diving down, seeing like, if this moves, what else moves, right? Mm. And so and this is before we had clean metrics. Now we have metrics built around this.
Yeah.
But for me, I was like, okay, like what's the one thing I finally got down to? And I'm like, if the interviews are being complete, if that number is climbing, then Podmatch is healthy from a churn rate perspective, from a MRR perspective, from the people actually using the platform versus being inactive. And so my goal is just to grow that number. So interviews completed is what I look at. And yes, I monthly go through and look at all the numbers and data. But I just know if I track this one and that number is climbing, it means we're actually really healthy. And so I continue. There's a percentage needs to grow and stuff like that, right? But that's what I track. And so when I have a problem and I'm bringing it to people that are mentors or to anybody in my life, I'm realizing I need help. It's when that number seems to be struggling. And then I can kind of reverse engineer. It's like, okay, well, what needs to happen? Like, where's the friction point, right? And more interviews being completed. And so we look at our kind of like the flywheel approach. Have you heard of that, Jeff? Like,
mm-hmm. That's what
we look. Okay. So the flywheel, basically like the faster a flywheel spins, the more powerful it gets. We look at it as three prong. It's marketing, it's conversion, it's retention. And so like if our interviews completed or not climbing the way we want to, we look at those three things and say, okay, is it a marketing problem? Conversion problem? Is it a retention problem? Like where is the weakest link to keeping this thing spinning faster so we can grow that number? I personally look at that. That's every month I'm looking at that and I'm tracking that and figuring out like, where is the pain point right now? And there's always going to be a different one. It's always evolving and changing. Whichever one's weakest, though, just focus on it. Fix that one and then see what happens next. Yeah, that was probably more technical than I was supposed to get.
No, I love it.
But I hope that's helpful to somebody.
And I hope that there's somebody in data analytics that listened to this podcast and says, I got to get Alex on so we can dive into the numbers here. I want to listen to that episode myself. So that's fantastic. I love it. So,
yeah.
And I know I kind of took us off track from what you would tell other people. But let's get to that last question now. 5 years from now, what does this look like for you, for your team, for the company? Where would you see yourself?
Yeah. So for me, obviously growing that interview completed number, right? Like that's the big metric there. But for me, I've really, in the last 365 days at time of recording this, I went to a ton of podcasting events. I went to meetups. I've talked to people online, done virtual stuff. I've done it all. And I'm realizing there is a huge shift to community-centric business. And so for me, I know that the next 5 years, and it won't take all that time, but I think to really get a true market adoption to it, it is going to take a while. Mm-hmm. But it's to shift our focus more and more to community. And so like for us, that means teaching people how to be a good affiliate for Podmatch. It means actually having community events in person, and also virtual. It means having what we call our legacy team, which are the people that want to basically part of the Podmatch evangelist street team type of thing, right? Yeah. Like the people that are out there promoting it. We have a network inside of Podmatch. And we're getting ready to do some other micro meetups and ways that people can just collaborate together inside the platform. We just launched a CRM inside of it. I know I'm sharing a lot of things, but the whole idea here is in this next 5 years, we want people to be able to say PodMatch is a community. I pay a membership for it because it has a platform side, but it is a community first and foremost. It has connected me with other podcast guests and hosts and business partners and the people that I just needed to meet. And so we're really doing our best to turn that community hub or ecosystem. And so in the next 5 years, I see us really being able to achieve that in this world that's just the digital world that is just starving for some form of real human connection like it never has before. We want to really be at the forefront of helping make this a reality so that other people can follow it beyond our business as well.
I love that. And it's, you know, I think I've heard people suggest that community is that human element that AI will not be able to replicate, right? And so we can sit on our digital therapist all day long if we want, but that's different from being in a community of other people doing something, you know, aligned with your passion. So I'm excited to see where it goes. And I'm excited to keep participating in that as it grows into more and more of a community. So
thanks, Jeff. I appreciate that, man. It means a lot.
Yeah. No, and Alex, I appreciate you coming on the show. It's been a lot of fun. It's good to see, you know, the real side of businesses and for other people building businesses to see, oh, I'm not the only one going through this. Like there's ups and downs and everybody does it. And I think my takeaway is, or my suggestion for some of the listeners out there who I know struggle a little bit more when they come up against hard questions is to maybe think about the perspective shift that you introduced, at least for me. And that is, oh, I asked them if I presented my problem to some really smart person. Instead of getting an answer, they said, yeah, that is a hard problem. And be able to walk away and say, oh my gosh, you know what? That should be, I'm going to have to figure out how that's encouraging to me. Cause I think my attitude is I'm kind of tuned to be like, oh, well, I was hoping for, you know, progress, but now I got to figure out. So I got a little bit of work to do on myself to figure out that right perspective, but I love it. And I'm going to work on it. So.
Oh man, that's a cool takeaway. Thank you for sharing that. And I think that the encouragement there is just like, as CEOs, as founders, like we're trailblazers. Like there's times when the trail gets tough, like it gets scary, right? But I said it earlier in this conversation, maybe it was like in the icebreaker round, but courage means being afraid than doing what you have to do anyway.
Yeah.
If there's smart people around you and they haven't figured out yet, that means there's a real opportunity there and there's a chance for you to level yourself up. Let that be inspiring and encouraging. I know for me, it has been. And obviously I'm going to go back and seek help, right? I'm going to use everything I can to figure it out. But I now know like, oh man, I'm trailblazing. Let's figure this thing out, right? And so I'm glad you had a cool takeaway like that, Jeff. That's cool to hear.
Yeah. And not to extend this too long, but to add to that a little bit, the front lines issue, you know, when you're pushing that front line forward because of the courage you have to step out, it's not just pushing it forward for you. If you've got this community mentality, you're pushing that front line forward for everybody. So I love this. So many takeaways here, Alex. It's been fantastic chatting with you. And so I just want to say thank you. You know, personally, I'm really glad to have a chance to talk with you, but also on behalf of our audience, thank you for coming onto the show, Alex.
Yeah, Jeff, thank you so much. This was a blast, man. Had a lot of fun here today.
It's been great. And to our audience, thank you for joining us again on another episode of The Breakout CEO. Be sure to follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And if you enjoy the show, a rating or a review goes a long way. Our mission is to promote the stories of breakout CEOs in scaling SaaS, e-commerce, and tech companies to equip peer CEOs with valuable perspectives and confidence. Thanks again for joining us on this episode of The Breakout CEO. I'm Jeff Holman, and I'll see you next time.